broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador. It's time to tackle the top headlines of the day.
I got blasted.
This is Three and Out.
Are you ready, Vinny, for Three and Out? Look, change of pace.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, Vinny. You know, switching it up a little bit. We're going to change gears. I'm all hyped up. I'm ready. Get the weekend started a little early. Big news in the movie world. Coming to America is now out on Amazon Prime. Are you excited to watch this movie?
I am. It was one of my all-time favorite movies, and I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan. No doubt about it. That's a movie that will be watched by the Bonsignor families.
All right. So with that being said, because Eddie Murphy, obviously a comedy legend, coming to America. The first one, obviously, just an all-time great. One of my favorite movies of all time as well. What are your top three Eddie Murphy movies?
48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, and then his stand-up. Coming to America absolutely would be top three. So 48 Hours, Coming to America, and Beverly Hills Cop.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's Beverly Hills Cop. It's good, but, you know, it's not one of my all-time favorites because I guess because number one for me is going to be Shrek, obviously.
Oh, God. Wait a minute. What? That's not an Eddie Murphy movie.
What are you talking about? He's the second lead.
Exactly. When we talk about Eddie Murphy movies, he's the lead, man. He's the face of the. He's great in that movie. But okay, I'll give you Shrek. But wow, oh boy.
So it's gonna be for me Shrek, obviously, Coming to America, and then Boomerang.
Boomerang is horrible, but okay.
What?
Yeah, it's not horrible, but it's not. You know, I don't think it's as. I think you would get an argument with that, especially, you know, people that, you know, because Eddie's been around a little while. And for those who have been there throughout his career, I think that, you know, that's probably top six, maybe. And you got to keep throwing the stand-up. He had some really, really, really funny stand-up movies that were movies where it was just him doing the stand-up, which is brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Okay, yeah, you got me there with the stand-up because I wasn't really counting the stand-up, but...
Those were movies, and they were big blockbusters as well. But I saw, you know how many times I've seen Eddie Murphy live, like so many times.
This is a story I really want to hear now.
Yeah, no. He was obviously, you know, he'd come through Los Angeles, go see him at the Forum. I saw him at not just the Forum. I saw him at the Forum three straight nights, by the way. I also saw him at the Universal City Theater. Where I met Richard Pryor for like the second or third time at that. He went to Eddie Murphy's concert and got to shake his hand. So that was really good too. So.
All right, Vinny, I know what you were expecting. You were expecting the doctors and not me, but they're going to be here in just a second. So let me throw one more at you.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Blake Griffin, former Clipper. Viciously shipped off to Detroit, and he doesn't want to be there anymore. He got bought out. You know, I think he's got to give back around $13 million of that money. Where do you think Blake Griffin should be going?
I would love to see him with the Lakers taking care of business against the Clippers, but I think and believe by all accounts that he might be headed to Brooklyn. And Brooklyn's going to be a pretty darn good. They already are a good team. But you put Blake Griffin on that team. Oh, my gosh. It looks a whole lot better.
Well, I'm going to have to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
That is right. And that's that signals one of my favorite segments of the week. And that's when we welcome in. Dr. Robert Odell and Dr. Michael Moses from the Las Vegas Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. Doctors, how are you doing today?
Very good. Very good, Vinny.
Hey, Vinny. Doing great.
D- Dr. Moses, how are you doing? Dr. Moses, you're here right now in Las Vegas now, or are you kind of commuting back and forth at all, or are you here now?
I'm still in Virginia, Vinny.
Okay, well, Dr. Odell, can we tell Dr. Moses the great weather that he's missing right now? Was today not a spectacular day here in Las Vegas? I think it got up to 74 degrees. It's just beautiful right now this time of year. You got to get out here, Dr. Moses.
Well, if you're a polar bear, it's 25 degrees out here tonight, so come on down.
Oh, my goodness.
We love it.
Dr. Odell, let your colleague know what kind of beautiful weather we're having this right now.
We have the same weather as San Diego, except for the summer. And it's really hot here, but it's usually gloomy there. And, you got the government to be concerned about.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Formally tell everybody about Dr. Moses. We're so excited to have his colleague, Ricky White, here, who is a heck of a lot better looking than Dr. Moses.
Oh.
Both are very fine chiropractors, and she's teaching me a little bit about miracles you guys do, and it's just such a neat way of practicing. I'm very PM&R challenged because I was trained as an anesthesiologist, and the physical medicine has always been my weakness, and I'm just so excited to have them here. I get started with chiropractors with lumbar decompression, and I'm working with a chiropractor in Tennessee 2 days every other week. Dear friend, I'm the owner of the clinic, and I go there. It's just been a terrific, a lot of fun. The people of East Tennessee are just terrific. But I'm so excited to have these guys here, and we're going to be moving to a bigger facility soon, hopefully, with ample room for everybody. But giving everybody the kind of care that they can give seamlessly is just so good, so neat. It really is. And it's a form of energy medicine, right, Dr. Moses?
We do a lot of energy medicine. We get a lot of the patients that wind up in my office for our side, for the chiropractic side, are the type of people that they've tried heat, ice, foam rolling, taping. Things just aren't working for them. And they get to the point that they're just tired of being in pain. And they'll give us a call. And chiropractor is usually one of the last people that people actually do call. But when they walk out of the office, they actually feel great. They wonder why they haven't tried a chiropractor. We're board certified. We're special chiropractors, actually. We do the sports medicine. Sports medicine chiropractors treat everything from plantar fasciitis, runner's knee, hip injuries, low back injuries, neck and shoulder injuries. We have a lot of special training, and I think that's what Dr. Odell was just mentioning. It's a special training and extremity adjustments, things that shoulders and knees that other doctors can't treat.
And I love to inject people. I just love my job. The fact that I can wear my pajamas every day, my greens. but having said that, if I refer a I've referred several patients to Dr. White, and who've had certain conditions like cervical facet mediated pain. She's gotten better, so I lost an injection. Well, I'm delighted, absolutely delighted to do that, because whenever you can treat somebody with less invasive means, it's always better. It's always better, and that's why. I know that Michael will be dividing his time, between here and Virginia. But I'm actually looking forward to going back to seeing his operation there. Although I try to stay as far away from Washington D.C. as I can, but that's another issue.
Yes, for obvious reasons.
We can't wait to have him there. The people are just terrific. His practice manager is out here now, and she's a crack up. She really is.
That's great, and we're gonna. I want to get into your exciting news and what you guys are doing with the headache and restless leg syndrome study that you guys are putting together. But before I get to that, Dr. Odell and Dr. Moses, Dr. Moses, you just mentioned sometimes a last resort. Patients come to a chiropractor. Dr. Odell, I don't know where. What you're doing, where that lands on the the options that patients have, whether you're the last resort or one of the first resorts. But I got to ask you guys, when I write a good story, I feel good. I'm not going to lie about it. I do. How much satisfaction, Dr. Moses? You just mentioned somebody walking out of your office feeling 1,000% better, and I'm sure Dr. Odell. You see that result as well. How much satisfaction, just personally, forget about being a doctor and a professional and all that. When you're able to help somebody to that extent, how good does that feel?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, totally. That's why we got into this profession, is to help people.
And we do care.
Well,
we're not in for the money. We're in there to help folks. You know, the money's nice, but
One of our patients was in this week. I didn't see the study, but I had a patient come in, I believe it was Monday, and she was saying how she was reading this morning that chiropractors were the third most satisfied profession in the world. Chiropractors were the happiest, I think is what she said, profession in the world. And I looked it up. We're number one medical provider for happiness, for patient satisfaction, which really says a lot, because there's a lot of different doctors out there. So for chiropractors to be the number one for patient satisfaction is an honor, honestly.
I'm not surprised.
Makes us feel great.
Let's compare that to Congress.
They're number one in their own head, Doc.
Exactly. I think a lot of those guys are going to need your services, and women, before it's all said and done, with the ruckus that they continually cause on a daily basis to themselves and others. By the way, all right, let's get into Dr. Odell. You're really proud of the headache and restless leg syndrome.
Yeah, we believe we have some groundbreaking treatments for restless leg syndrome and headaches. And anybody out there with RLS or headaches of any kind, now if they're cervicogenic coming from the neck, we can definitely fix them a certain way. But anybody who has headaches other than cervicogenic, and we can determine that, you're welcome to come in for a free consult to see if you qualify for our pilot studies. To make a long story short, we're using this advanced electromedical device, Synexis, along with a non-invasive sphenopalatine ganglion block or occipital nerve blocks for the headaches. And for restless leg syndrome, we're using the machine on the legs, the same thing we use to treat neuropathy. I've seen some amazing results, and we just need to see enough patients in there so I can kind of get an idea what the optimum protocol is. And then I'm going to go to an institutional review board to do a pilot study, because I am convinced that in both these cases, I mean, headaches plague, I don't know what the percentage is, but especially with women, you know, it's terrible. And I'll tell you an anecdotal story. My biller, she had an acute headache, acute migraine one day, and I gave her a sphenopalatine ganglion block, which is basically squirting some stuff into the nose, into the far back of the nose. It's near one of the relay stations for the nerve that, you know, is associated with headaches, called the trigeminal. Anyway, not only did she had three Synexis treatments after that, she hasn't had any headaches since then. And I'm telling you, now that's an anecdote. And, you know, Medicare and these guys don't like anecdotes. They like studies. But this is something we can really do. And the thing that makes me so excited is these efforts that we do are not invasive. And if anybody would like to call 257-7246, 702-257-7246, Christina Rodriguez, my office manager, will be on the phone Monday and Tuesday, because my regular new patient coordinator is on vacation, my sister-in-law, Elizabeth Reed, who does an absolutely terrific job. But if anybody would like to call and come in, I'll be happy to see you any Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday to see if you qualify. We'd love to have you come in, or tell any friends you might have. We'd love to see you and take advantage of this these pilot studies.
Dr. Odell, I'm going to apologize for what might seem like an ill-informed question, but when you talk about headaches, and you know, I hear migraines. When I worked for the Los Angeles Lakers back in the day, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar literally dealt with migraines that would. He'd have to sit out huge games, championship games, because he just couldn't function dealing with these migraine headaches. With what you're talking about and the study that you're doing and this groundbreaking procedure that you're studying, do migraines fall into that category at all, or is that a separate kind of a headache?
No, everything's the same, because what we're treating is the nerve that carries the signals, wherever the signals are coming from, whatever it is. And sphenopalatine ganglion blocks actually have been shown to help migrainers. One block once a week for 5 weeks. I'm told by the establishment that they don't pay for them now for some stupid reason. You know, what else is new? But I really don't care, because what we're going to do is we're going to add the electromedical device, the combined electrochemical technique aspect to it. I think I think we have a New England Journal level article here. But unlike with my past studies with neuropathy, we're going to get institutional review board approval prior to something that I want to publish. Right now, we're just doing a pilot study without IRB approval. I tell the patients what the side effects are, which is basically nothing. The only problem with the machine is we might be able to have to, if we drop it on their foot, the foot might hurt. But really, right. These are absolutely safe studies, and I'm really excited. Would be excited to get. We're just not getting the numbers right now because, of course, we're treating neuropathy and my interventional practice and all that. And I really would like to see about 5 or 6, 10 patients come in so I could focus on their care for a couple weeks or 3 weeks and see what happens. Yes, it's experimental, but it's experimental to the sense that the SPG blocks have been proven, Synexis has been proven. I just want to put them together. And the other part of experimental is, does it cause harm? And it does not at all. There's no risk. So I'm just just really looking forward to this. The reason I'm so interested in the all the years we've been treating diabetic neuropathy from all causes. Everybody with RLS would tell us after a couple of weeks that their RLS was gone. And that's exciting to me.
If you could give the number out one more time, because when I hear you can, mitigate and manage migraine headaches, I mean, I have so many friends, so many people that I know that are just, I mean, their days are shut.
Tell them to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What, if you could give out the number one more time.
Wednesday, I won't be there Monday and Tuesday. I'll be in Tennessee, but Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Love to see them. It'll take a few minutes. I see if they qualify. If they have insurance, that's great. We can build for we figure that out. That's not my point right now. We really are looking to get together some feeling for what the best, the optimum protocol is. But anytime you can do something that is risk-free, you have a tiger by the tail, in my opinion.
There's no question about that. And if you could give out the phone number one more time.
Oh, 702-257-7246. Those of you driving, Neuropathy and Pain Centers of Las Vegas, you can Google that. My last name is Odello, D-E-L-L. The website is www.nvpainrelief.com.
And I'm going to tweet it out, too. I'm going to tweet it out, too, over the weekend so that everybody knows. Because, like I said, whether you're athletes, just everyday life, headaches are a real thing, and migraines are a real thing. And to be able to provide relief for that is just, like you said, it's literally groundbreaking. It's a game changer.
It's a shame this isn't television. We could flash it on the screen.
There you go. Yes. We'll do the next best thing. And get it out on social media.
I don't want to forget Dr. Moses and is joining us because we're just having the best time. And I said I've referred 3 or 4 patients already that basically don't need my injections, which I think is terrific. That's just the way I am. And anytime you can do something more conservative, even though what we do is pretty much risk-free too, it is outstanding. And I think, that type of treatment of patients really spreads with word of mouth, I think, as has for our clinic here in Las Vegas, because we want to do it right. We really do.
Absolutely. Dr. Moses, I have a quick question for you, and it relates to Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. He came back last year. He had surgery to reattach 3 torn flexor tendons in his right elbow in early 2019. When I say early, I mean early in the season of 2019, so somewhere in September or so of 2019. Wiped out his entire rest of that season. He came back last year, played reasonably well, but you could see that the arm strength wasn't where it was prior to the surgery. The Steelers have re-signed him for 2021, and so he's going to give it another shot. To your knowledge, in an injury like that, is there a reason for him to believe that the arm strength can get better between now and next season, or the further that he gets removed from that type of a surgery?
I'm familiar with that injury. I believe he hurt his elbow just throwing the ball. I don't think he was sacked or tackled on that play. He tore the muscles off of his elbow. So a lot of his power is going to be reduced simply because of pain, not necessarily because of the surgery that he had done. So once he gets his biomechanics proper, once he gets his shoulder range of motion and his strength back, his throwing power should come right back. If the pain isn't in the elbow, yeah, I believe he'll have 100% strength back, velocity back. He should throw the ball unhindered. It's the pain that really was limiting his ability to throw last season. It wasn't so much loss of strength or loss of range of motion of his shoulder. So yeah,
was that because of the just the aftermath of the surgery, and he still, you know, it takes time to move away from that, or was that do you think that he re-injured it at all post surgery, or was that just kind of a normal procedure?
Yeah, I think it just is going to take him a year to fully rehab, get the inflammation down. There'll be a definite amount of scar tissue. We in the clinic, we use a technique called Graston, which we use metal tools to scrape scar tissue away. So I would assume his trainer's using Graston. They're probably using cupping and some kinesio taping, massage, adjusting the shoulder, adjusting the elbow. And those things could take up to a year to heal. And it simply is he needs to get comfortable with the pain or lack of pain, and his velocity should come right back.
Were those flexor or extensor tendons, Dr. Moses?
Extensor tendons. Those are the tendons that go from the elbow, the outer elbow,
to the
back of the wrist.
I knew that.
Yeah. So a lot of people who know tennis elbow, that would be a tennis elbow injury, but his was a tear instead of tendonitis.
Yeah, you know, when Vinny emailed me today, I had not heard of that. And also, Vinny, you said resigned. I thought it was resigned. I thought he was quitting.
No, I forgot to put the hyphen in there in my haste.
I wouldn't say resigned. I would say just retired, but I was confused, so I'm glad you clarified that. But that guy's a tough cookie. Anybody being a motorcycle, I mean, he's just crazy. He's nuts. He's tough.
Yeah, I think Dr. Moses
is exactly right. He probably had pain when he threw the darn thing, and it just didn't bother him, you know? It's just amazing how people are different.
Yeah, and actually, he had been dealing with pain up until the most serious of the injury. He had been dealing with pain, and I guess he let a long ball loose, and I guess that's when the injury, the actual tear, occurred. And at that point, he couldn't, you know, obviously throw anymore after that. And so that's when the surgery happened. So,
by the way, before we get off, can I give you one disclaimer?
Yes.
Yeah, for headaches, that doesn't include spouses.
Oh, I'm all right. Okay, so I'm sure I'm the cause of my spouse's headache. So you're not going to be able to help my wife, unfortunately. I'm going to have to get removed, obviously, from the picture and the situation.
I want you to come over and see the trains. We got them up and running.
All right, awesome. I'm going to definitely take you up on that offer. And listen to everyone that's listening. I'm gonna put this out on Twitter too. Call Dr. Odile, 702-257-7246. If you're dealing with headaches and you want relief and you want help, give him a call. He's got a great thing that they're putting together at the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas, trying to help you, literally help you. They're putting together a pilot study that could be groundbreaking.
We're a little bit short-staffed on Monday. And I'm out of town until Wednesday, but, just give us a call, and we'll get you in. I'll can't wait to see people, you know.
Absolutely. Take advantage. Trust me when I say that.
But no
spouse. Take advantage. Dr. Odile and Dr. Moses, thank you so much for your time this week. Can't wait to talk to you next week and see how everything's going with the study and everything else that we're going to talk about. Enjoy your weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Robert Odile and Dr. Michael Moses from the Las Vegas Neuropathy and Pain Center. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
My thanks again to Dr. Odile and Dr. Michael Moses from Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. Again, if you're dealing with headaches, give them a call next week, 702-257-7246. They're doing a study right now. They need patients to come in and participate in the study, and in the meantime, get relief for headaches. It's a real thing. It's a real issue, obviously, migraine headaches, headaches in general. Dr. Odell believes that he's come up with something that's fairly that's groundbreaking in terms of dealing with this. So give him a call, 702-257-7246, and go get yourself helped out. No question about it. Well, we're talking about the Raiders, offensive line. As we sit today, there's some uncertainty. There's no question about it. Gabe Jackson is going to be released. That saves $9.7 million. And when I say saves $9.7 million, it doesn't mean that that they're poor. They can't pay the $9.7 million. It's trying to create money under the salary cap. I think most Raider fans understand what I'm talking about, but just for the others, for some who were unclear about it, the salary cap is going down, and it looks like it's probably going to go down by as much as $18 million from last year. When you hear that, the salary cap is going down by $18 million, and it probably won't be that drastic. I'm thinking it's going to be more around $10 million, but let's just say it's $18 million. You have to understand that what that really represents is about a $40 million swing, literally, because you're expecting it to go up from 198 to maybe in that $220 million range. That was kind of what the projections were like a couple of years ago. If you would have sat there as an NFL general manager and team and said, okay, because when you think about it, every time you sign a contract, when you sign a four-year contract, you're also taking into account what the salary cap will potentially look like 4 years from now, 3 years from now, 2 years from now, not just what it looks like at this moment. And because a team is a puzzle, you've got 53 pieces of that puzzle that you have to fit in under that salary cap. And so when you're making a big signing in 2020, or 2021, you also have to think about, well, how does this apply to whatever the salary cap might be in 2023? So a couple of years ago, when you're signing Trent Brown and you're signing, Richie Incognito, that wasn't a big contract necessarily, but and Terrell Williams and LaMarcus Joyner, you're not just looking at 2019, you are looking at, on four-year deals, what's this going to look like in 3 years? Where's the salary cap going to be? We know that we're paying Trent Brown $14 million in 2021. What's the 2021, salary cap going to realistically look like? And is $14 million something that we're comfortable with paying Trent Brown in 2021? Well, at that point, you're thinking about the salary cap going up to $220 million in 2021, not dropping to 180 or $185 million. So it's a different, it's a different world. This whole thing has really thrown things upside down, unfortunately, for teams, and now they have to make major adjustments, as do players, as do the players themselves. It's just, this is such uncharted territory that we're in right now. The salary cap rarely, if ever, goes down. I think the only time that has gone down in the last X amount of years was when there was a work stoppage. And so as a result of the work stoppage, revenue went down. And so the next year's salary cap reflected that. And obviously, here we are again, only this is because a global pandemic mandated and meant that fans weren't going to be able to be sitting in the seats as they normally did. And teams had to give back money for season ticket, sales, all that revenue went back to fans, or was applied this year's season tickets. We don't even know if, the full houses are going to be allowed this year. That's still a ways away. The Golden Knights, the hockey team out here, I don't know what the exact capacity is in their 17,000, 18,000 seat arena, but it's definitely not full house. I'd have to look at it, but it's drastically reduced, and that's just getting started. Where hockey fans are allowed to go back into certain stadiums or arenas around the league, Las Vegas being one of them. But you do the math. You know, obviously that's not 20,000 like they normally would have, or whatever the capacity is over at T-Mobile. So if you're looking at it from a football perspective, there's going to be some states that are still operating prudently or cautiously. So we don't know come September whether Allegiant Stadium is going to be completely open. I do believe that it will be open, that fans will be allowed in the stadium, but I don't know if it means they're going to be able to pack 65,000 fans in there or 25,000 fans in there or whatever the case might be. Now, I have a feeling that there's going to be plenty of states out there, or some states, I should say, that are wide open. Didn't Texas open up completely? There's no restrictions. You don't have to wear masks. You don't have to. Everything is good, apparently, in Texas. Well, if I'm reading that correctly, that means that the Cowboys are going to be able to fit as many fans into games as they want. We'll have to see. We'll have to look at see what that means for their baseball team, the Texas Rangers, what it means for the Mavericks right now, their basketball team. So there's going to be different circumstances for different teams based on how states are operating. In California, which is, you know, still kind of moving slowly along in a lot of different ways as far as the pandemic goes. I don't know if SoFi Stadium is going to be open entirely come September. I tend to doubt it, to be honest with you, unless I'm hoping for the best. That would be awesome if it was. Same here in Las Vegas with Allegiant Stadium. But the bottom line is all of that affects payroll. All of it affects salary cap. It also affects, you know, owners' abilities sometimes to pay the money up front. You know, everyone's talking about, well, you could do the cash over cap route where you pay up front signing bonuses, then prorate that amount over the length of the contract in a way that the player gets their fair share of money, and you're able to manipulate and mitigate the salary cap restrictions, because By using signing bonuses, you're taking salary down a notch a little bit, you know. So you know, if a player, even though a player like, again, Corey Littleton collected $13 million last year between salary and a signing bonus. All right, $13 million he put in his pocket, or roughly. But he only counted $3.6 million against the Raiders' salary cap, because $10 million of that $13 million or so was paid in a signing bonus. So, you know, that the Raiders are able to prorate now over, I think they extended the contract. They put a couple of voidable years at the tail end of his contract, to cover the prorated portion of that signing bonus. So, you know, figure it being like $2.4 million that they apply to the prorated signing bonus in 2023, let's say, in 2024. Well, even though the money has already been paid, that $2.4 million will still count against the salary cap, because that's how that works. That's why, but when we're thinking about paying the cash up front in order to mitigate, you know, what it means against your salary cap in salary, that sounds all great, and there will be, I believe, instances where teams do that, but you're also asking some of these owners to reach into their pocket and come up with money coming off of a year where the revenue was dramatically down from the year before or previous years. And also keep in mind this: when you see that the salary cap floor is $180 million, that does not reflect what the revenue was in 2020, the overall revenue. Remember how we talked about how the salary cap is essentially 48% of total revenue that the NFL makes, all right? You take 48%, which is contractually the player's cut of total revenue. So if it's $100 billion, or let's just say it was $20 billion that the NFL made in whatever year, you take 48% off of that $20 billion, and that goes to players, okay? And then that 48%, whatever that total is, gets divided by 32 teams. That's how your salary cap is established, okay? But because of the reduced salary, the reduced revenue, there's no way that the salary cap floor based on revenue is $180 million this year. It just isn't. The league lost a lot more money than that in terms of revenue, all right? So that $180 million actually represents, let's say, $160 million of actual revenue, and then $20 million per team that the players are borrowing against future salary caps, so that instead of having to negotiate contracts on $160 million salary cap, they're able to do it on $180 million salary cap. But that's money that they're borrowing from themselves down the road. They're borrowing money just to get it to the $180 million against future assets. And every million dollar that it goes up per team from this point forward, we'll finally figure out what the salary cap is going to be here in a couple of weeks. But if it goes up over the $180 million, understand that that just means that the players and the owners, agreed to basically front the players association that much more money against future revenue. So at some point, the players are going to have to pay that back. So even when you're talking about doing the cash over cap considerations, it's not like next year's salary cap or the year after that or the year after that or the year after that is going to truly represent the revenue that was generated the year before, because part of that is going to go towards repaying the loan that the players are taking from themselves. It's very complicated, but the fact is they're not going to be out of the woods anytime soon. So the more they expect owners to pay over the salary cap with cash, the more that's going to eat into salary caps in the future, the more that's going to eat into salaries in the future, and the more that they borrow to soften the blow this year and maybe even next year, the more they're going to have to eventually pay as players down the road to themselves, basically. And for some players that are older, that are like, I'm not going to even be here in 2 years, so I don't care. I don't care that there's future players that are going to be paying this bill and feeling the effect on their salaries. I don't care because I'm going to be out of the league. And I understand that. I get that. But just understand that all of this has to get paid back at some point, whether it's cash over cap that applies to your future salary caps or borrowing, the players borrowing against future assets, future revenue, in order to make sure that they don't take a severe, really big hit this year in salaries. It all has to get paid back at some point. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bahar.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
What is good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. You're in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hope all is well. Coming down the home stretch. And I'll tell you what, it's just going to get crazier from here. Obviously, we've the news that the Raiders are going to release Gabe Jackson, saves $9.7 million under the salary cap, or creates $9.7 million of salary cap relief. Richie Incognito, the left guard, is also going to get released. That's $5.7 million that the Raiders get back in salary cap relief. Those are the two guards that the Raiders, were counting on going into last year. Richie Incognito, unfortunately, was only able to play two games due to an Achilles tendon injury. Gabe Jackson was his usual self and playing really well. But unfortunately, because of the salary cap going down, you're going to be reading about guys like Gabe Jackson across the league who have kind of priced themselves out of their current situations And keep in mind, Gabe Jackson doesn't, nor does Richie Incognito, those releases don't incur any sort of penalty or anything like that. Both of their, both of those players, the guaranteed portions of their contracts have already been paid out. So from that perspective, it doesn't hurt the Raiders. It only helps, really, in creating the salary cap relief. But it opens up holes on the offensive line. Granted, Richie Incognito only played two games with the Raiders last year, but you know, they're going to have to replace him. And oh, by the way, Denzel Good, who did replace him, capably so, by the way, last year, played the bulk of the season at left guard in replace of the injured Richie Incognito and played really well. He's a pending free agent. So are the Raiders going to bring him back, and at what cost? I would imagine that they do, but we'll see. Do they take a turn back to Richie Incognito once all the dust settles? Perhaps. I'm not going to rule that out. I think it actually has a little bit of likeliness to it. I'm more interested in what happens at right guard, where Gabe Jackson leaves a pretty big gaping hole. I don't think Gabe Jackson is going to be back. So as of right now, that would be John Simpson, perhaps, the rookie from Clemson, who appeared in seven games this year. Is he ready to make his move and lock down a starting job? Maybe. I mean, obviously, the Raiders really liked John coming out of Clemson. He was a fourth-round pick. He's somebody that that, you know, played reasonably well when he was in there last year. It was kind of spot play here and there over seven games due to some injuries. But, you know, offensive linemen, it really is a very, very much a development position where, you know, obviously there are some guys that step in day one and start, but a lot of guys, especially when you're drafted in the fourth round, you're going to take a redshirt year, your rookie year, and you're going to be developed behind the scenes, get your body right, get your understanding of offensive line play right, the kind of offense that you're going to be playing in. But there's always been hope that John Simpson eventually was going to take over a starting job. And if that's the case, maybe it's sooner rather than later with Gabe Jackson on his way out the door. Or maybe the Raiders turn toward free agency. There's some intriguing possibilities on the pending free agent list. We'll see about that. There's also going to be, and we've talked about this, a lot of players that hit the open market simply because, again, like Gabe Jackson, with the salary cap going down, you're going to have some high-priced free agents, not high-priced, but guys that are making that $8 million, $9 million that is a little bit too hefty at this point because of where the salary cap is. They're going to be out on the open market too and probably going to have to resign themselves to the fact that they're going to have to take a pay cut if they want to stay in the league. And so I think that there are going to be quality players at guard and across the board at other positions that are going to be available to the Raiders and other teams. That's why Mike Mayock yesterday talked about being patient in free agency. Are they going to take a couple of home run swings early on in free agency? I think they will. And I think that the two positions that I can see them making big, taking big swings are free safety and defensive line. But other than that, it might behoove the Raiders, given how the market is going to shape up, to just kind of sit back and wait after that. And say, all right, we're gonna shop prudently and patiently because we believe that the depth of this free agency class is going to yield strong returns on that secondary market, which is always a good market to operate in as it is, but even more so this year because I think there's going to be more players and more depth across the board at certain positions. So you can sit back and let markets kind of evolve and define themselves and then be able to get a really good player at a highly reduced cost. And I think every team obviously is going to be looking for those kind of bargains because out of necessity, we keep talking about the fact that this salary cap is going down for the first time in years. It's not going up. And that swing that we're talking about from $198 million to $180 million as of right now, that's really that's more than just an $18 million swing. It's almost a $40 million swing because 2 years ago, you were anticipating that salary cap. If you were a general manager or a team, you were anticipating that salary cap going up to about $220 million. So you do the math. The $20 million that you're not getting in the expected increase added to the $20 million that it looks like it might be going down, or the $18 million that it might be going down. That is harsh. Anyway, those are stories for another day. We'll be right on top of it. We'll be back on Monday in the huddle. Vinny Monsignor brought to you by Tequila Embajador, 4 to 6 p.m. Please tune in. I'm sure there's going to be some news between now and then. That's the way it is this time of year. Things are happening almost by the minute and definitely by the day. Thanks to DeMond Cotton, our great producer back at home base. Appreciate you making us look and sound good. And thank you to all the listeners and all the callers. You're why we do this. We'll check you guys out on Monday, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Vinny Monsignor brought to you by Tequila Embajador.